Last night was a special night. My wife had her high school reunion, but it was a night of remembrance. It was a night of nostalgia. And those memories are important. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Doing things in remembrance. And as the table in front says, do this in remembrance of me. We just had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want us to focus on, first of all, why is it called that? Are there other names for it besides the Lord's Supper? What does it mean when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Is it for everyone to do? And why do we observe it every Sunday? Those are very, very important questions that every Christian needs to know the answer to. You know, we're called upon to be able to give an answer to people who ask us about our faith. And this is certainly one of the most important parts of our faith, is partaking of the Lord's Supper. And of course, we should never do it in any sort of irreverent way. It's something that we're to focus on. So, why is it called the Lord's Supper? Well, the Bible says that it's a feast, it's a memorial, it's a remembrance that honors our Lord. In other words, it is all about our Savior. That's why it's called the Lord's Supper. When Paul addressed the church in Corinth, in the first recorded letter that we have, the church there was having problems with the Lord's Supper. They were having problems with it. There was some teachings about the Lord's Supper that wasn't right. There were problems with the members about the Lord's Supper that wasn't right. And so Paul had to clear things up so that the church at Corinth could properly observe the Lord's Supper, because there's a proper way to observe it and there's many improper ways to observe it. So he writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. I hope you have your Bibles and can read these verses with me. This is the New King James I'm reading out of. It says in verse 23 of the 11th chapter, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" See, this is about Jesus. Remember, back in Matthew chapter 26, we'll look at that in a little bit. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And this was to be a remembrance to the disciples, to the Christians, about what he was just getting ready to go through. See, he's getting ready to be betrayed, getting ready to suffer, getting ready to die. And so this Lord's Supper, this memorial, this feast, was going to be a remembrance of what he was going through for them. Does the Bible ever call it anything other than the Lord's Supper? It sure does. There are several names in the Bible that refer to this act of worship. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're worshiping. We're worshiping. That's why it's supposed to be a time of reverence and respect, is because it's an item of worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, going back just one chapter, verse 16 of that chapter says this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" He uses the word communion there to describe what we call the Lord's Supper. Why does he call it a communion? When you look at the original word in the Greek language here, it has the idea of a sharing, a time of coming together, a joint participation, a joint sharing. So it is, in a way, it's a time of fellowship. So all of us here, when we were partakers, we were united in a sense, because we were all jointly participating in this act of worship. And so Paul here calls it a communion, a fellowship, a sharing, something done together. It brings us together. But it's to be done, and this I don't think could be emphasized enough, this is something we do together in the assembly. In other words, I don't do it by myself on Thursday night. It has no meaning. It only has meaning in the assembly when we are together, because it's a together thing. It's a sharing. It's a fellowship, a joint participation. That's why it's to be done in the assembly and nowhere else. That's where it takes on meaning, is when we are together. It is also called the breaking of the bread. In Acts chapter 2, at the very beginning of the church. We know what happens in Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. It's been less than 2 months since Jesus' death. And what happens? Peter and the other apostles have the Holy Spirit come upon them. And they deliver this sermon there to all these thousands of Jewish people who are gathered. On that day, what happens? Many people respond to Peter, his sermon. They ask, what shall we do to be saved? Peter tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those people became the church. That was the church. And notice what they did. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. That's what they did. See, in the breaking of bread. So the communion, the Lord's Supper, is also called the breaking of the bread. It's also called that same thing in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And this is a very important verse. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We'll be back to it later. It says there in the 7th verse, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. See, the first day of the week, Sunday, was a very special day. That's what's called the Lord's Day. It was a special day. That, of course, is the day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. That early Sunday morning when the tomb was empty. It was a Sunday, the Lord's Day. And so these disciples, on the first day of the week, that was their practice. That was their pattern. Every first day of the week. Whenever the first day of the week came around, what did they do? They assembled. And what did they do in that assembly? Broke bread. So here we have the Lord's Supper, communion, breaking of bread. It's also called the Lord's table or the table of the Lord. Back in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, verse 21, Paul refers to it in that sense. He had just been talking about the cup of blessing and the bread that we break. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 10 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You can't do both. In other words, there's a choice. You do one or you do the other. Well, why is it called the Lord's table? Well, it's because it's Him is the one that we're honoring and remembering, and it's by His authority we're doing it, because He's the one that instituted it. He's the one that started it on the night that He was betrayed. They're in Matthew chapter 26. So it's not the wooden table that he's referring to. You don't have to have a wooden table that says, do this in remembrance of me. It could sit on the floor. It could sit on a plastic table. What it sits on is not important. It's what's on the table that's critical. Those elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine. Are there things we shouldn't call it? Absolutely. We shouldn't call it a sacrament because it's not a sacrament. We shouldn't call it the Eucharist because it's not the Eucharist. But there are things we can call it. And it's important that we know that as Christians. So going on then, what does it mean? We had Memorial Day not too long ago. And it was a time when people were remembered, right? It was, of course, we think about honoring veterans, but it's kind of expanded to where it's a memorial of people who've passed. It was a time of remembrance, and often people would go to, you know, the cemeteries and so forth, and they might have a ceremony or whatever. It was a memorial to remember, and that's what it is for us. It's a reminder. We have to be reminded of things or we forget. We have to be reminded. I've never counted how many times in the New Testament in Paul's letters where he would say, I put you in remembrance. Or I do this to remind you. People forget. And so every Lord's Day, we have a reminder. We have a memorial of what? The fact that the actual Son of God left heaven, he came to this world, and took on actual flesh and blood. He had a physical heart, he had physical lungs, he had skin that would sunburn, he had, if he cut himself, he would bleed. I mean, his body was just like yours and mine. Actual flesh and blood. And that actual flesh and blood body suffered. And didn't just suffer, he suffered horribly. And then he died a terrible, painful death on the cross. That's what we remember. That's why it's a memorial. That's why it does say, do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of that flesh and blood body that suffered and died. That's what it's about. And we shouldn't make it about anything else because that's what it's about. It's about that horrible death that he died. And why these two elements? Because they're symbolic. Jesus chose them for a particular reason. Let's go back now to that night of his betrayal in Matthew chapter 26. It's almost time for him to be betrayed in the garden. And in Matthew chapter 26, this is what he says, beginning in verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, that's Jesus and the apostles, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Those two elements, he says, are symbolic. The bread, which of course was unleavened bread because this was Passover time and that's what they had, was unleavened bread. So he took the unleavened bread, and each of them took a piece of it. And he said, what this is, this represents my body. The body that I actually have, this represents this flesh and blood body that's getting ready to be betrayed, getting ready to suffer, and getting ready to die. That's what this is. That's just a little piece of cracker, but what an emblem it is. What a symbol it is. in Luke's account of this, he adds, which was given for you. This is my body, which was given for you. The fruit of the vine represents, as he says, the blood of the covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins. It's symbolic. They didn't actually drink his blood, but they drank the fruit of the vine, which is, of course, what they would have during that time. So that's what they drank. And it was a symbol. It represented the blood that Jesus was getting ready to shed in a matter of hours. In just a matter of hours, he was going to be shedding that blood. He said, I want you to remember this. So every Sunday we remember that he had a flesh and blood body, that he suffered, he bled, and died. That's what it's a remembrance, a reminder of. And when we partake of it, like that last verse we read, we're reminded that Jesus is with us. This morning, Jesus was right here with us partaking of this Lord's Supper. No, we can't see him because he doesn't have that flesh and blood body. But he was with us because Jesus said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, the Father's kingdom came there in Acts chapter 2. So ever since then, whenever any of God's people on the first day of the week are partaking of the Lord's Supper, he is with them. So he was with us. It's a time of fellowship, as we read. It's a time of coming together. It's a time of unity. We're all thinking about the same thing at the same time. We're all thinking about Jesus. We're all thinking about his suffering. We're all thinking about his death. We're all doing it at the same time. And that fruit of the vine, which represents his blood, we're thinking about how that blood is the only thing that has the power to wash away sins. It gives us strength. Every Lord's Day, when we assemble, again, it has no meaning outside the assembly. It's just crackers and grape juice outside. But when we come together to worship on the first day of the week, it has meaning. It has meaning, and it gives us strength when we do that. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us where this strength comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's pretty serious. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. So there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. There's a worthy way and an unworthy way. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. See, there's the idea of discernment involved. There's the idea of thinking involved. There's the idea of focusing that's involved. He says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So it can either strengthen us or make us weaker. And it all depends on what we're doing. All depends on what we're doing. Someone that doesn't understand what the Lord's Supper is and what the elements mean and so forth, it doesn't do anything for them. That's why it's not for little children. They don't understand what those mean. They don't understand what the suffering means and his death on the cross means. They don't understand that. So that's why the Lord's Supper is not for little children. It's for people who have come to age where they can understand those things. So understanding, discernment is essential in partaking of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. So it gives us strength and makes us stronger. So we are to meditate, think about, focus on Jesus, who is the bread of life. I just mentioned that children are not to partake of it. I remember as a little kid, real little kid, my sister and I would be over at my grandmother's, and a lot of you people remember my grandparents, and we would play church. Well, that's what we called it. And we would get some crackers from my grandmother and some grape juice from my grandmother, and we'd pretend like we were, you know, partaking of the Lord's Supper. But we weren't partaking of the Lord's Supper. We weren't doing it in the assembly. We weren't doing it on the first day of the week. And we didn't understand at the time what those really meant. So it's essential to understand, have that discernment, have that understanding of what you're doing. It's very important. So who's to partake of it? As we said, the disciples, Christians. We read Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Disciples are the ones to break bread. Partake of the communion, the Lord's Supper. In other words, those in the one body, like Paul called them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the last question, why do we observe it every Sunday? Most religious groups don't. So why do we do it every Sunday? Well, we just read Acts chapter 20, verse 7. What's the background to it? Well, let's go back. Context is everything. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Paul, this is on one of his missionary journeys. Let's go back to verse 6 to find out what's going on. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 20. But we sailed away, Paul and his companions, from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, why is that significant? Well, first of all, Paul is in a hurry and is trying to get back. So why in the world does he wait 7 whole days? And of course, the way Jewish people would count it, that would be parts of 7 days. Why wait 7 days? Well, he says, now on the first day of the week, what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the first day of the week. Why wait for the first day of the week? Because that's when disciples, Christians, would partake of the Lord's Supper. They wouldn't partake of it on the second day of the week. Has no significance on the second day of the week. Has no significance on the seventh day of the week. It has absolutely no meaning whatsoever any other time except the first day of the week. So when people partake of it on Saturday night or Monday or Wednesday, it has absolutely no meaning regardless of whether they believe it has meaning. It only has significance. It's only an act of worship on the first day of the week. So Paul's there at Troas and he's waiting and waiting and waiting until Sunday, the Lord's Day. Why? To partake of the Lord's Supper. That's when they came together. That's when the church assembled. That's when they came together as the church to worship and to partake of the Lord's Supper. That was something they only did on the first day of the week. They didn't do it on any other day. It's the Lord's Supper. And it's to be partaken of on the Lord's day. That's where we have our authority. And every time Sunday rolls around, and in my week it's every week, that's when we meet, that's when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We have no authority to do it twice a week, or 3 times a week, or 10 times a week, or once a month, or once a quarter. The only way to partake of it in a worthy manner is to do it on the first day of every week. Anything else is not pleasing in God's sight. Remember, Jesus is the one that instituted the Lord's Supper. The church didn't institute it. Jesus instituted it. It's His table. It's His supper. And it's about remembering Him And that's why we listen to what he says about it. It's every first day of the week. It is so critical to our spiritual health. What did Paul say? Because some people were partaking in an unworthy manner, they were becoming sick. Not physically sick, spiritually sick. They weren't partaking of it as they should. And so they were getting spiritually weak and spiritually sick. They weren't, when they were partake of it, they weren't focusing on what they were doing. They weren't putting themselves in remembrance of what those elements meant, what they were a symbol of, significance. As a result, they were getting sick. So this is a blessing that's reserved for Christians. It's a blessing that's reserved for Christians. And every week when we come together with those of a like mind, then we're allowed to participate jointly, share this time of fellowship when we partake of the Lord's Supper. That's the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's so important. So when one places their faith in Christ, when they believe and repent, confess and are baptized, they become part of that one body, that universal church. And then have that wonderful blessing every first day of the week to partake of that Lord's Supper. What a wonderful thing. So simple. Little piece of cracker, grape juice, but its significance is eternal. This morning you may not be a part of that body of Christ. If you're not, I would encourage you to consider it. If you are and you're in need of prayers, I would consider that as well. And if you need to come forward, I would have you do that now as we stand and sing. Let's stand, please.